Good evening. I'd like to call to order this meeting on Monday, July the 30th at 6:30 at the Milford Central Academy. May we please have a roll call?
Mrs. Dennehy.
Here.
Mr. Evans.
Here.
Mr. Miller.
Here.
Mrs. Purcell.
Here.
Mr. Shellhouse.
Here.
Mr. Besmar.
Here.
Mrs. Wiley.
Here. Okay. At this time, I need a motion to adjourn to executive session.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mrs. Dennehy. I need a second.
Second.
From Mr. Evans. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
So moved. Okay, we are now in executive session. Okay, the board has been in executive session, so at this time I need a motion to come out of the session.
So moved.
I have a motion for Mrs. Dennehy. I need a second.
Second.
For Mr. Evans. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We are now out of executive session. At this time, I'd like to have the introduction of our visitors.
Richard Avery.
Glenn Stevens.
Jason Field.
Sarah Croce. Laura Reyes. Nancy Carter.
Cindy McKenzie.
Jenny Hassett.
Van Holm.
Sean Snyder.
Gary Zoll.
Will be on.
Okay, thank you.
Seth Buford, MEA.
Okay, thank you. And if you'll please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, I need a motion to accept the regular meeting minutes for July the 9th, 2018, which is attachment one, if there are no additions or changes.
So
I have a motion from Mr. Shellhouse. I need a second.
Second.
I have a second from Mrs. Dennehy. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
So moved. Okay. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda?
Yes. 14A would not be brought forth tonight as far as the Facilities Management Board Policy 3101. We will bring that to you next time. Okay. There's something that needs to be cleaned up in that policy here before we have it voted on.
Okay. So noted. And I do not believe we have any public comment tonight. I don't see anyone signed up. Okay. And is there any recognition and accomplishments?
Yes, a couple here. I'm not sure if Ms. Bruns. Ms. Bruns was recognized there at the fair during the FFA Awards last Friday and recognized for her 20 years of service in leadership and also kind of her farewell as being an agri science educator and moving on to being assistant principal here. And then she also accepted the award for MCA as far as being the agri science program of the year. And I believe next board meeting we'll also have our award winners from the fair and our participants also brought forth for the high school and also the Central Academy. So I had a good showing, great group of kids and also staff there at the fair through the week. In addition, do want to point out here, and maybe we'll have more information next time, Newsweek just had a ranking of top high schools across the state of Delaware, and they use graduation rates and progress, and they also use a lot of AP participation within the diversity and the makeup of your school from a student population. And Milford High School was ranked as a top five high school in the state of Delaware, number five across the state, and really the second best non-charter public high school as far as in the state as well. So congratulations on that to the high school. I know they've done a lot of work in a lot of different areas there and to their staff and their students.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. We'll move on to superintendent reports.
Yes, have school board's membership here. This you may want to take time here to maybe look at this, think about it. Maybe we have discussion next time. We have discussion now. It's up really to your leisure at this time. But really at this point in time, we have not been part of the DSBA the last couple years. And I think for a couple of different reasons. I think maybe some of it, was cost. I wanted to make sure our costs go back to students and schools support learning. That was one part of it. And then another part there too, maybe some of the services and support of DSBA. I will say DSBA has made a lot of strides over the last couple of years. Mr. Marinucci has been the one in charge, Dr. Marinucci, John Marinucci, has been in charge and has been really an advocate for the boards across the state of Delaware. So just really at some point in time, they'll have his action item tonight. But I want to bring this to your attention. This was sent to us here earlier in the month, and just want you to be able to have discussion or whether you'd like to be part of the SBA or our members be part of the SBA, and whether we have to budget for that as we do our updated budget here, final budget throughout the school year.
Do you want to have discussion at this time? Or I know we have two new board members on. I do know that when I came on as a board member, they offered some training. I highly recommend you take advantage of that because they give you literature, but they also give you a lot of good information. And so I would recommend that. My feeling is, personally, I know that there is a cost involved in being a part of this membership, but I feel that this is our professional organization, and I feel that we should be a part of that. I know in the past there were some issues and concerns that we had, but I do think that there's been a change in the guard and in their focus and their direction, and I would like to see us be a part of that. So that's my feeling. You know, you certainly can.
So the main issue last time, besides the cost, mm-hmm. was the leadership, mm-hmm. and that's changed since we made that decision.
That is true. I mean, the leadership has changed. I do know that they are very much advocating for all the districts to get together. I know at this point they have meetings where they have the different presidents get together to talk about what goes on in the individual boards, which is kind of informative because, mm-hmm. as you all know, different boards sometimes work in different ways. So you can certainly learn some information. It also gives you an idea of what some other of the districts are dealing with and some of their issues, too. But, you know, I think that it's, you know, they help us with the legislative information. And you also add your voice to that. So when bills are coming forward, dealing with the legislators, then you can be represented and give your, you know, your input into that. And I know I served on this committee, and I know, Marvin, you've served on it for a number of years, as well as the other board. So I don't know if there's anything you'd like to add, because I think none of these people have experienced that.
The legislative committee, mm-hmm. tell me what's going on with that. Anything? We're not doing anything there, right?
We are not a part of that, no. But they are still representing the school districts.
And they have their regular meetings as well, where they talk about educational issues and legislative type action and those type of things as well, and discuss it.
And we've also been invited to attend.
Right.
The only thing is that we would have to pay the stipends because we're not a member. Mm-hmm. But they have always included us in any of their workshops or conversations.
Right.
But I think, too, being an advocate of professional organizations, that it's the advocacy part of it that in today's world would be a very good thing to have. It is a large price tag to have that advocacy.
Where does the funding come from?
It would be local.
Mm-hmm.
So most other boards, are they part of this or not part of this?
Some of them are. Some of them aren't.
In the past, before there was this change, I think almost all the boards were represented. But then there was a shift, and there was some concern, and it really felt that we weren't getting that representation, and our money wasn't being well used. And because we want to be fiscally responsible, we felt that maybe we needed to pull out, and many of the districts did. But since then, like I said, there's been a change, and I know that Dr. Marinucci has worked very hard to be very positive and proactive, and I think it's back on track where it needs to be. And, you know, we don't have to make a decision on this right now, but I would suggest that any board members who would like to attend a meeting, it may be a good idea to get some information, get feedback, and you can see what your feelings would be about it and if you think that this is a good way for us to move forward or not. So,
majority of the boards are part of the organization. If you wanted, Dr. Marinucci probably could come here and speak and answer any questions that you have, if you'd like, if you'd wish. Same token, we can bring this next time for an action item, give you time to maybe do some research and see if this would be a valuable organization to be part of. And I didn't want to, kind of spoke here earlier, I think we had dedicated leadership through this organization for years. I think the support maybe sometimes has maybe evolved a little bit here over the last couple of years again, but they've had dedicated leadership for years from numerous people and obviously from their kind of directors or people who have been in charge for many, many years. So this is an opportunity. We can bring it back as an action item next time, give you a chance to research. The same token, if you'd like for Dr. Marinucci to attend, maybe to answer some questions, please let Ms. Wiley know. We can probably arrange that too. He's usually pretty accessible for these type of things.
Okay.
Okay, next part here, just want to give you a Milford Middle School committee update. The purpose of the committee will be to evaluate the Milford Middle School building and grounds and make recommendations regarding future use relative to the educational needs of the district and overall benefit of the community. We're finalizing a committee that is representative of the community and will begin with an open mind regarding possibilities. The first open meeting will be here on Monday, August 27th at 6 p.m. So right here in the Milford Central Academy cafeteria. They will be open meetings, public meetings. We'll have an agenda the first meeting presented to you at the next board meeting. This agenda will also be posted as we normally post our boarding meeting agendas. We feel like it's vital at this point in time to start this work and analysis. The grounds and area need to be a great place for the community as the property is centrally located, be reflective of the outstanding community Milford is, and be a contributor to the economic development occurring within Milford. Also, the grounds and area need to be evaluated from a standpoint of maximizing educational value within the footprint of the district as we are experiencing student growth within the district and we'll have future space needs. Any questions?
So that will be on the 27th at 6 o'clock here at the Central Academy.
Yes, and we will have two board representatives, Ms. Dennehy and also Mr. Evans are our two board representatives during these meetings. And what we'll do after each committee meeting, we will also do a report out here to the board, okay, the following board meeting. I do want to recognize Mr. Diaz out here today. He's actually running our 4-H program here, has many of our students engaged here during the summer. Thank you for your leadership and also doing an internship here right now for becoming an administrator here with Mr. Snyder and also Dr. Peel. So thank you very much. And Ms. Croce, before we start here, any schools, do you have any announcements to make, anything there? Mr. Diaz, did you want to make any updates about the program too? I'm sorry, I kind of...
I think the program's going well. We had about 50 kids enrolled. We're looking to enroll 75. I'll be here tomorrow night during the open house that you guys have. We're also planning to do another all call. We did an all call in Spanish and in English. And we've also been working with administrators here, Mr. Snyder and also Dr. McDaniel, to kind of get the word out. So we got a good mix of kids, and we're serving all different types of kids. Really inclusive group, great group, so everything we know about, we appreciate your support and moving forward. We look to just build on that and kind of piggyback on some of the great things you guys are doing.
Yes, thank you for the opportunities for our students and your leadership. Thank you. And Mr. Zoll, we just want to piggyback off that. Talked about an event here tomorrow night. Would you like to tell us what the event is?
Tomorrow night, we're just opening up the building to incoming sixth graders. We're going to have students from 8th grade getting course. Of course, probably whose term, but just showing, you know, classrooms in English, with the building, youth center, cafeteria. And then we also have some of our sport teams and organizations here, and then some outside ones as well. We're going to have a table set up to give information out to the parents.
Appreciate it.
Tomorrow from 6 until 7:30. That is a walk-in.
Appreciate it. It's been a great event here at MCA when we've allowed this to occur. This event has been really nice as far as familiarity, as far as the school for students and obviously families as well. So thank you for hosting tomorrow night.
Also, we probably want to take the time to recognize Jody Messick. She's our new assistant principal at Morris. So welcome. This is your first time at one of our meetings in this capacity. And also congratulations to John Lobiondo, who's moved on to transportation and safety.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the correct term, but congratulations to you, John, in that capacity.
Supervisor of Transportation and School Safety.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Ms. Croce, we'll turn it over to you then.
I'm not used to being this early in the board. I don't know how I got bumped up.
There you go.
So good evening, everyone. I have just a couple of things on the agenda. We have our final revenue and expenditure reports as of June 30th. This is how we closed out fiscal year 18. Taking a look just at the revenue, you can see we actually ended up well over our 100% collections for current expense. And we ended up actually over 100% in all four of our tax categories, which is a great thing for us to see. I know earlier in the year, we were really concerned about making it to even 98%, but we were able to make it to 100%, and that's great. On the expenditure side, we did have some areas where we went over, but they were offset by the areas where we were able to control some funds and keep those in there. So really not a bad place to end the year. We ended up putting our full allocation over to our dedicated reserve and meeting that obligation. So we're well on to fiscal year 19. We've already established and approved the budget for that. You'll be seeing your first report from July and August meeting.
Any questions from the board? I know we have some new board members, so you understand. Okay, follow, no questions? Okay. If there are no questions, then I need a motion to accept the revenue and expenditure report as of June 30th, 2018.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mrs. Dennehy. I need a second. I have a second from Mr. Vesmar. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
So moved. Thank you.
Thank you. The next item I have for you is the financial position report. So this is a report that we have to prepare several times a year for the Department of Education, and it pretty much sums up some state and local funds that are considered discretionary in nature and lets you know how we're starting the year. So this is a projection as of July 1st of how we'll go through the first quarter of the year with our discretionary monies, both local funds and state funds. So you'll see at the top the local funds, what we actually have unencumbered at this point, which is a good balance, what we have encumbered, and then what we're projected to bring in between now and October 15th. So we're required by the state code to keep 1 month's payroll in reserve at all times in order to avoid going into financial security. So we have well over that at this time, and we're projecting to be in good cash flow in place for October 15th. So you'll see another one of these come in the second quarter.
Any questions by the board? If not, then I need a motion to accept the DOE financial position report.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mr. Evans and a second from Mr. Schauhaus. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
So moved. Thank you.
The last item I have tonight is just a discussion around the district's fundraising policy. There is Board Policy 5103 is out in the policy manual. It's been established and revised. Well, it was adopted in 1976, and then the last time it was revised was in 2009. We've had a lot of internal discussion about this policy and just making sure that it doesn't necessarily need to be revised. We just want to make sure that the board is A, aware of the policy, and B, that we're bringing things before you and making sure that we're following it. So we wanted to talk with the board this evening about the second paragraph that talks about all fundraising activities involving sales of items in the community that must be approved in advance by the principal and the school board in the spring prior to the school year. It also says that the following types of activities are to be submitted to the Board of Education for approval or disapproval, which includes all solicitations off school grounds, sales of all types of merchandise, advertisements, food and beverages. So the types of things that we were thinking is like, I know most of you know that the marching band does the butt cards. We've also have some folks who do like the Claire's fundraiser or they sell raisin cookie dough. Are these all types of things that you feel need to come before the board? Do you feel like this policy is still relevant? Or do we need to make changes going forward? My goal this year is to really kind of have a handle on what we're out in the community asking for making sure that you're aware of what we're out in the community asking for, and how those monies are intended to be spent.
This is something we've probably neglected over the last couple years, and I don't think any fault of anybody, but it's something that was routinely done for years that we're finding out we haven't done, and I'm not sure when the process started. It could have been my fault as far as making sure we didn't bring this here during the term I've been superintendent, so very well could be that. But we just want to make sure we have a common understanding with this, and also make sure we bring the fundraising forms, and you know what they are, kind of like we do the field trips. We understand the spring guides timeline. We think it's too early through the process. It needs to be pushed back. But we might have to make that adjustment within this policy. The same token, before we bring you fundraiser forms next time, or with things that we are submitting for your approval, we just want to have clarification what things that we have a kind of agreement what should be coming in front of you. We just want to go through some examples tonight and those type of things. So
I gave you some of the examples of, you know, merchandise or things that is they're going home with our students, if they're out in the community and going door to door to the neighbors asking. So we believe those kind of fit under this policy and they would need to come before you. The things that we were kind of on the fence about were like the Chick-fil-A spirit nights. Do you need to know about those, or like grottos and things like that? Are those the type of things you need to know?
May I ask one just out of that, please? We also talked about, like, when we do the pancake breakfast, when we sell tickets out in the community. Is that one you like to know of, too, or is that the same as the fall underneath the night outs?
So even, like, the boosters, so band boosters, athletic team boosters, PTP, they all are going to bring all that before us if they're selling.
I don't think it's necessary.
So that's right now we're asking for organizations that we have financial purview over, which would be those organizations that utilize our student activity accounts, which right now we have brought the band boosters in, several athletic organizations. If they have their own tax ID number, we're not asking for them to follow this policy, but that doesn't mean we won't in the future. We're really trying to just get off the ground with our own organizations first.
But the boosters we have not brought in front of the board for years. However, they do go to the athletic director. And that's one thing we are encouraging, again, to making sure all of those are communicating with the athletic director in case we have any concerns with any type of booster on fundraiser out there. But they usually, with a separate tax ID, they usually have their own, as far as have their own fundraisers and those type of things out here for the community. They also have to have a board, too. So our boards, yes, our boosters out there also have to have the boards. They have the president and also the treasurer. So they have to have that board make up there to be able to operate. Go ahead, Ms. Denny, sorry.
I think that if things are brought before athletic director and brought to the attention of the school administrators, then, and they okay it, then I think barring something really off the wall, that it's fine. I don't think we need to approve cookie dough sales and pancakes at Applebee's, but I mean,
my concern is having all the buildings wanting to do something at the same time.
I think,
and then there needs to, yeah, but there needs to be some clearinghouse for that, because if I have a student in each one of the buildings and every single building is asking me then to help with this fundraiser, and it's all being done at the same time, then I'm not going to be able to do the best job that I can as a parent, because there's so many places asking, you know, for the money. Somehow, it's not to nickel and dime everybody for scheduling, but it's basically the scheduling itself.
How do you, Matt? I mean, that to me, that's something that I think our administrative team works really well together, and they could kind of manage that versus, I mean.
But we need to then say, that's your job.
Yeah.
You guys got to do that, because we're not going to be overseeing every little.
Oh.
I think they've been doing it, because in my time that I've been here, I've never approved one fundraising. Anyway.
And I think a lot of them do it, you know, I think a lot of the different boosters and organizers kind of know what everybody else is doing, and they try to avoid it because
Yeah, they don't want conflict.
Yeah, they don't want a conflict because they just want to.
You don't want several people selling trip over pizza.
No.
That's one thing we're trying to do right now, Mr. Evans, is try to establish a spreadsheet so we can look at this and also communicate it as a team. Inherently, there's going to be some fundraisers that are at the same time of the year just because of the need for different fundraising activities that occur at certain points of time. But I think we can continue to look at a team. I do think our principal's done a great job over the years, our administrators at building levels, and also our staff to kind of work together to make sure these are spread out. We'd also like to do it, as Ms. Purcell is saying here, and yourself, Mr. Evans, that we're also looking holistically as a whole district.
Yeah.
So we're not doing so many at one time, especially the door-to-door and some of those different things. But that's one thing we're trying to get a handle on. We just want to make sure we're clear in what to bring in front of the board, so we kind of have the same, that we're kind of viewing this the same.
And also about the spring before, I don't think that's feasible.
So I guess my question for the board then is, do you still feel like this policy is relevant in its current state, or do we need to make changes and or possibly delete the policy, knowing that we could establish internal controls and an internal calendar to work with the building administration?
The one thing that I have a concern about is professional fundraisers. Organizations who come in and use our kids. And I want to make sure that we watch that, because I don't have a problem with the kids with the buck cards, and I don't have a problem with the Chick-fil-A's and the grottos and those community things. But I do, having been a past class advisor, I know we had, and trying to raise money, I know that a lot of times our kids get sucked into wanting to sell something for this prize, and these kids never can seem to obtain those things. And I don't, and as a parent and a grandparent, I've been caught in trying to buy these things that, you know, to help the grandchild to do that. And I'd rather write a check to the school than to do that. So those are the things that I have a concern about. That I don't want to see these kids going door to door selling those. If they want to sell them to their grandparents, their neighbors, and their family and friends and or whatever, that's fine. But I worry about safety, and I also worry about, like I said, our kids being taken advantage of because they can't achieve the goals, and you know they don't get that limousine ride. That you know, whatever, or they don't get into the money bin to collect the money or something like that.
I agree.
So
if that's then maybe if we look at ones where there's a prize or some kind of end incentive for the kids to sell, because if they're selling something, you know, if they're selling cookie dough and they're not going to get a prize for selling it, they're just selling it, I don't think that's a major issue. I think it's when they're trying to sell $100 worth of something to get, well, what was it at one point? It was, I forgot, another rubber ducks and all, I mean, maybe in that case where the kids are being incentivized to sell more, I don't know.
And as long as there's a clearinghouse, as long as there's somebody watching to make sure that this fundraiser has been done, the money has been collected, and the money is being utilized as it's supposed to be utilized, then I'm okay with not having to rubber stamp it. But somebody in the district office has to be responsible, whether a trickle-down effect then to the principals or whatever. But I think a lot of these, a lot of our schools use the same things year after year. The community's kind of used to them. We all want to go to Chick-fil-A. We all want to go to Grotto's because then we don't have to cook those nights. And we're supporting our schools, I think, you know, and the community. And I don't think that I don't think any of us would have an issue with that. Mm-hmm. So
I think you do need a policy, though. It may not be this policy as written, but I think there needs to be some kind of statement about fundraising.
Yeah. Okay. And there's one thing I'm talking about earlier about the spring. Spring's too early. Probably in August in the future is kind of too late. And what happens is we have to commit a lot of times to the following year's fundraisers early on. If not, you don't get into some of their schedules. So I think this year we have some historical ones that we're going to continue with. Same token, maybe having discussions throughout the year whether this is most appropriate now, or maybe we'll say this is, and try to do that clearinghouse where we kind of see what we're doing across the board and across our district. So is that fair enough or anything else?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll try to bring some revision on this policy. Okay.
I do remember.
I don't know if it's part of this, maybe it's completely separate. The donors choose, you know, a lot of teachers use to raise money to get kids in the classroom and stuff like that. Is that, would that be covered in the policy that the district has? Is that, or not? Is that just as something?
So technically, it should be covered in this policy, and we've had some internal conversations about how that falls and whether or not those need to come over the board. That was also a key part of this discussion this evening. I've had several teachers that have done some GoFundMe accounts. I will be 100% honest, I'm not comfortable with them because we don't have any control over where the money is deposited and how it's used. So if they're soliciting money on behalf of the school district or behalf of the school, I don't think that's an appropriate method to do that. That's, again, my personal opinion. Say how you feel.
I don't think we should be allowing GoFundMe accounts for our classroom.
Well, there should be an approval process prior if there was some type of need rather than just engaging in something like that. But some type of scrutiny of what that would be, I think that'd be appropriate. And maybe we don't do those at all. I think we'll have that discussion as well. We've had a discussion whether we even support those. Sometimes you do see some good uses from different places sometimes. But I think it needs to be some type of approval process before we just engage.
I think it's a catch-22 because on the other end, if a teacher is able to get the money through their class that way and they do use it for the classroom, there's a definite benefit because the other option is they can use cash out of their pocket.
Or they can ask for donations for the stuff that they're trying to.
Well, I think for, I think GoFundMe is a separate thing than those donors choose. Donors choose, I think, is one that's primarily for teachers.
Okay.
It's set up for teachers, and it's, I don't know exactly how it works with the money and what accounts it goes to and, anything like that. But I think it's a separate conversation with GoFundMe.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe what we'll do is kind of clean this policy up and try to address that in a policy as we go forward. Does that sound appropriate?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think it's good to have this discussion.
And I think that, I'd like to clarify, door to door, I thought I was under the impression that any of our, at least elementary, are not to go door to door.
No, I've gotten a note home before
for
a mixed bag. And it says, you ask your family and friends, it specifically says you do not send your children door to door.
Because I don't think any of our kids should be door to door.
That's true, but there are parents who do not read those notices, and there are some very zealous young people who are excited about the gifts and they want to get, and so they may be going out on their own, and I would not want to put any of our children in an unsafe situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they need to be going selling things door to door like that. So
the last piece of this policy before I move on is just that the bottom piece says that all fundraisers that sell food and beverages, whether sold in the school or the community, will meet nutritional standards. We do have a wellness policy committee. We have established a USDA compliant wellness policy that we're working to adhere to. So I just want to make sure that piece probably needs to be revised slightly, but that's also good.
I think we have to include that because in order to reap the benefits of what we do. So.
Are we enforcing that?
No.
Okay.
I said we'd also just have healthy alternatives too. We should be when we're also fundraising. That's been like the district stands for a while. We used to have healthy alternatives as we are engaging in some of the selling of some of the food off campus.
Does that count for like you're going to a grotto's night or a?
It does not.
Okay.
But it does count for selling cacao or donuts or things like that.
Okay.
And Krispy Kreme donuts, those type of things. That's something here we're going to be looking at too going forward.
But are we going to be able to police those third parties that have tax ID numbers and all that fun and boards? Are we going to be able to even...
The booster organization?
And have separate checking accounts and all that fun stuff?
The booster organization would be taking probably not, but through this approval process, we would look to at least put a district cover to this. Maybe it's our policy.
We may also look at the boosters and things, whether we include them, whether it's appropriate to in PPP.
All right, thank you. Okay, Dr. Jason Peel? Really well. Personnel.
Hey, good evening. I want to ask that we break this up a little bit, start to go through it. But first, with the personnel agenda, I would like to ask for approval as presented during this executive session.
So if there is no other comments or discussion, I need a motion to accept the personnel report as presented to the board during the executive session.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mrs. Dennehy. I need a second.
Second.
From Mr. Evans. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? So moved. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next is the safety monitor. Morris Village Childhood Center, you have in your packet a sample safety monitor posting. I think last board meeting we spoke about a constable. We have learned since then that we need to apply with the Delaware Board of Examiners as a district to in order to employ a constable. There's also a process for individuals to go through to become constables. So we're unable right now to do that. The Board of Examiners traditionally meets twice a year. They just met in May and they are scheduled to meet again at least in December. They could meet earlier if they have enough on the agenda. Should we approve this tonight, we will submit tomorrow part of that that agenda. We have to write a letter, we have to choose a design of a badge that we submit for a constable. We have some other paperwork that we need to go through. We have we won't have to present for that sort of thing. I did learn there is precedent for constables in schools, so the process should not be a large obstacle. We just have to go through that, and the board only needs certain times of year. So for that reason, we bring to you this the safety monitor.
It would be called, this is what the name we would go with, be a safety monitor. It's being used in other schools as well. We would start with a safety monitor, so I know we would not have a constable as far as in true name until probably December or maybe even start of the second half of the year. However, we would like to start with a safety monitor of someone who would be able to meet the constable requirements and who would be able to submit to become a constable. So we would still like to start with some type of a safety monitor. Now, obviously, you can see here is looking at least 10 years of successful experience in law enforcement and then left in good standing from a law enforcement agency. But they would have to, as we put this posting out and we apply, we're looking at somebody who could be a constable for us at Morris Early Childhood Center. And they would start as a safety monitor to start with, but they would also be called a safety monitor even when they become constable eligible.
What are the requirements of becoming a constable and why do we need to be a constable? If you hire a retired police officer or something like that, they're going to be a constable?
So a constable is able to detain people. It is more of a certified, I think, police arrest. It's more of a certified law enforcement person who's got the devil there. City monitor would not be as legitimate. I mean, or, you know, wouldn't carry the certifications and that sort of thing. Might have been retired and come from, you know, would not have to be
comfortable with being recognized as very quickly here, minimal qualifications. They have to have 10 years experience, a lot of what other districts have been asking for in a local, state, or federal law enforcement agency. They have a state of Delaware constable certification or eligibility for Delaware constable certification. They have successfully passed criminal background check and also the Minnesota multi-phasic personality inventory. They'd have to obtain a yearly constable license from the state of Delaware. They also have to obtain constable training certification from the state of Delaware. So they have ongoing training and training requirements that they would have to update. And these were included last time as we talked through some of the certain things that a constable would have to have. They have to obtain a license to carry a firearm from the state of Delaware for a constable. Any additional training or education as needed, as the board kind of examiners kind of updates training requirements for the position. Also qualify for firearm certification with 3 qualifying shoots per year. They also have to, constables for remainder of the term shall meet all the requirements related to firearms training and all requirements related to any additional training. The Board of Examiners may require commissioned constables receive such additional training or education as it deems necessary. So they also have to be approved by the Board of Examiners. A constable applicant shall meet the minimum standards established by the board and shall participate in such other training as the board requires. They have to separate in good standing from law enforcement agency. So they're the minimum requirements that they have to have. This would be stuff here that we'll have to make sure they do have. We talked last time about the merits of having somebody who was a safety monitor without the constable maybe authority. But we talked about last time here as a board, we really thought it would be better to have that person operate as a constable. We are fine either way. We do recognize the value of a constable. The constable also has some authority down there as far as that would have authority on the Morris grounds also to interfere on criminal acts and those type of things as well, which would be very beneficial. Again, this person would also, we'd ask to communicate well with the state police as well as the Beaufort Police Department and our other school resource officers. So it's going to be a safety monitor. That would be the name of this. It's just, we would not be able to start with somebody who would have the full-fledged constable authority until we went through the Board of Examiners.
But that's our intention, right? To get the approval and transition them into a constable fully, right?
Yes, if that's what the board desires. Like, so we like to have a safety monitor either way. The question we talked about last time and what we were left with here, should this person have the constable authorization or should this be a more of a safety monitor, someone who has some law enforcement but wouldn't have all the rights as a constable? And that's what we talked about last time as a board. It was kind of suggested we thought the constable would be more appropriate.
This safety monitor then would carry a firearm.
Not until
the person was a constable, yes.
Okay. Now, for somebody with all of these qualifications, for $25 an hour, that's a lot of qualifications for, a transition to wait for getting a regular pay for a constable.
And this is something we looked at in consideration with what other districts are also as far as what they're compensating, and we thought we were very fair and actually align with a couple other local districts who are employing constables. Remember, these are retired, a lot of times retired officers. Generally, that's who's been hired in these roles in the past. And this is something that's very competitive with others in our region.
And did we talk about whether we were going, would this be an employee of the district then?
Yes, this would not be contracted out. Okay. And talking to our legal counsel, they thought that was better if we employed the person here as Milford School District.
Well, I'm seeing the term of employment 185 days. So that's just a normal school year. Are there any considerations for summer school? If we have summer school at Morris right now, so will the constable be on the ground or safety monitor be on the grounds for summer school also? Or is this just during the regular school?
This right here is just for the regular school year at this point in time. What we'd also do is flex some hours on professional development days to allow for training for the safety monitor, as well as to be able to be on campus for the evening events at Morris as well. We have not factored in any type of summer costs. The one thing is we do have several places during the summer who do have some summer opportunities. We could look into that. And we can see whether that's a possibility too. But we will be also, obviously, that would bring another cost here to the district as well going forward.
Yeah, man, I fully understand the cost. I was thinking if we're going to protect the kids for 185 days, we should probably protect the kids whenever there's kids in that school.
I agree.
That's my opinion. Unless we move the summer school to a school downtown, where it's covered by
But I think we use Morris for specific reason in the summer, just the, some of the facilities there. I mean,
do our safety officers that we have now work in the summer?
We traditionally don't have those, but it's probably something we should probably visit with the city, because we do have 3 that are employed, but A lot of times they are doing other work as far as during the summer, but it's probably something we've talked about that's probably maybe visiting, especially for the Dorth campus here. It may not be Morris, but it may be something we should probably visit, see what those responsibilities are. But a lot of times during the summer, they are given extra patrol and responsibilities here through the community.
Well, I agree with what Mr. Vesmar's comments as far as if we're going to have children at Morris during the summertime, I feel it's our responsibility to protect them whenever. Mm-hmm. So God forbid something were to happen and we're not, you know, down there. I don't know how I could face a parent who had to deal with something. So I just think that if we're going to put a constable down there, that, you know, it should be someone who's there. If we're going to have summer school there, then that's where they should be.
We should have them there whenever kids are in there. We should have them there.
Yes. So that's the cost of safety, and there's no price that you can put on that that would, you know, be the cost of a child's life or a teacher's life or whoever, or administrator's life.
What was our primary reason from going from summer school here to Morris?
Consolidate services, bring staff together. Also, it does have a monetary impact as well. Busing goes to the same location, staff going to the same location.
So there was two locations going on at that time?
We had multiple locations prior. So now everything is right at Morris with the summer school. Now, please keep in mind, though, we still have some of the summer school is still here. So the credit recovery summer school is still here on the North Campus here during the summertime as well.
Yeah, I'm not as nervous because we're in the Milford
right.
Police Department's district, and I think we could have rapid response in a very short time. My concern is that Morris is the lonely child sitting out there, and the response time can be, you know, 10, 15 minutes, whatever. And if it's state police that you're waiting on, it could be an hour, you know, later. Because they're coming either from Lewis or Georgetown, if I'm not mistaken. So I just think that if we're going to have summer school out at Morris, we need to make sure that we have coverage for that time.
And you know, I would think that Morris is probably a more susceptible location. It's not as much traffic, not as much. It's kind of, like you said, out on an island surrounded. It's a lot more open. There's not as many eyes on it throughout the day as they are, it is, especially somewhere like here, where there's constant traffic. And I just think that if we're gonna have kids in that school especially, that we need to have somebody there to make sure their safety of them and administration and staff at that time is protected.
I think that thought here with the board will plan accordingly. If we go to constable route or safety monitor route, actually, we will plan accordingly here for future summer school as well.
Is that how the rest of the board feels?
Yes.
Sounds like the board is pretty unanimous in that.
And we're going to get them all the training they need on, you know, dealing with the students and all that stuff. We're going to make sure they get all that training in place to make sure that any interaction with children, we get them all the training the SROs get and everybody else would get, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Understanding special needs to get children.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we'll make sure they're heavily versed in that regard too, yes.
Okay, good.
So at this point, if we hire somebody, we know that they're not going to be a constable, but we are working towards that. So we're planning to be on this docket in December to work on getting this person to become a constable. Is that correct?
Actually, it could be someone who is already a constable.
That's true.
Without our district being approved to hire constables, they can't act as one. It could be one or the other, it could be both, but we also can get simultaneous approval. So if we have one, they can work towards it.
We're looking to approve this today with us working towards a constable. And if we have to amend the terms of employment, we can do that later. That way we can move towards getting somebody down there sooner than later with the school year being, what, a month away?
This right here is just a sample posting. So okay. You know, we have a couple of things we will still clean up as far as, but this is a sample so you would see what the kind of the qualifications would be, the performance responsibilities, so you saw what a sample would look like. Now, if you give approval tonight as far as to work toward this safety monitor at Morris, and also for this person to be a constable and have that authorization there, then we'll go ahead and start moving towards this and making sure we have an appropriate posting. We'll post it out there and then start our hiring process or our recruiting processes and posting processes and hiring processes for a safety monitor at Morris Early Childhood to start the school year. With the understanding that we'll also obviously include summertime if needed as well.
Okay. So at this point then, I need a motion to approve the Morris Early Childhood Center safety monitor / constable vacancy posting.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, so I have a motion from Ron Evans. I need a second from Jason Miller. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or any abstaining? So moved.
Thank you for supporting that. Like I said, I think we all take the safety of our kids and security of our kids at paramount, and then probably never more than the day and age we're in right now. But the Morris does an outstanding job of that, as all our schools and all our ministries out here are concerned about the safety and welfare of our students. And this goes a long way to making sure, again, we provide protection and security for our students and our families. Thank you, and staff.
And with that, can we look at what we have to do with our memorandum of understanding with Milford for this location for next year and what that would entail during summer school?
Next year,
summer school.
I think we can look back through our agreement. And then we can look through. I'm not sure if it has any stipulation as far as the summertime, but that's something we need to look back through. And if it's not, then I think we need to have a conversation, whether at least get one, even if they rotated on it on a rotational basis here during the summer. So our city's been great with our resource officers. I don't want to downplay that at all. They've been great, and the resource officers we have been outstanding. So very fortunate in that regard.
Next, we'd like to talk through the two student code of conduct policies. We had a discussion at the last board meeting. You'll see tonight a cleaned up version, but in blue are some of the changes and discussion we had from the last meeting.
Are you
this time we can just go through if there's any questions,
yeah.
You can point those out and have a discussion on those.
Okay. Do you want us to just peruse it ourselves and then ask you any questions?
The one thing we did confirm that lockers, I know that was a large discussion last time. Standard search lockers without minimal suspicion, so we'll see that reflected back there with or without. They are property of the district, so we don't do that.
So we were good on the motor vehicle section, right? That was the other.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, any questions or concerns in regards to Board Policy 5404, Student Conduct, Code of Conduct in the Secondary Schools? If there are no further comments or questions, I need a motion to accept this new board policy or revised. I have that from Mr. Besmar.
Second.
And second from Mr. Schauhaus. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? So moved. Thank you.
Great. And to the elementary one as well. The first section should reflect exactly the secondary.
So if the board has had a chance to look at this, it is quite lengthy, but I think we've had this before and we had quite ample discussion the last time. If there are no other questions, I don't want to rush the board, but if there's no other questions or comments, I need a motion to approve the board policy 5414, student code of conduct for elementary schools grades K through 5.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mr. Shawhouse and a second from Mrs. Dennehy. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? So moved. Okay.
And then looking through, I guess, the next series of policies, all of these are already reflected in the two policies that we just approved. So the suggestion or ask for tonight is to delete these, as to not create confusion, to make one concise place where parents and families and students can refer to. Are there any questions about any of these individual policies?
No.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are also outdated because of the new regulation 616 in terms of discipline hearing and re-entry into, that a lot of that is already outlined by the new regulation. We don't necessarily follow that. New policies they do, but in this one, they don't.
Okay. So if there is no further discussion or questions at this point, I need to have a motion to delete board policy 5401, which is required dissemination.
So moved.
Board policy 5406. I'm going to do them all.
Okay.
Superintendent's disciplinary hearing. 5409, student initiated appellate process. And let's see, oh no, two more. Board policy 5410, suspension and expulsion of pupils in the elementary schools. And finally, deletion of board policy 5411, criteria for readmission following expulsion. So moved. I have a motion from Mrs. Dennehy, and I have a second from Mr. Shawhouse. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? So moved.
Okay, and then lastly, a first read of board policy 4309E, which is volunteer coaching assistance. This policy has been broken out into kind of more of a bulleted form, which we thought was easier to follow. You'll see some of the changes there. Most notable at the bottom is satisfactory child protection registry, which volunteers have to have that, and also the background check, and then also explicitly say that it must have board approval. On the back, we'll see the volunteer's agreement, and then we also, from that policy, have a volunteer packet that volunteers have to fill out with name, personal information, what they're going to volunteer, with the background check, and all of that filled out, and then we put that on file with their background check that comes in, and that will where everyone is.
So, the volunteers, does that all then go through the central office? So, like, the coaches will get a volunteer, and the coaches will have them go to the central office in order to get the paperwork and all this done, and then you'll keep a record there and keep it all on file. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, then from year to year, they have to get a new background check. They actually have to do the paperwork. We have some volunteer coaches from that have been doing the same for 5 or 10 years. They have to get a new background check, but as long as they're still doing the same before and everything, they have to do all the paperwork. Such as signing their agreement on the back. We've done that once. A volunteer background check is $18.
Do we ask for like recommendations from the coach? Is that normally how that happens?
Yeah, the coach and the principal office sign off.
Okay. So somebody can't just walk off the street and start filling out
the form. Right. They're also board approved. So the coaches come to you for approval. And we also have volunteers that we have all the paperwork for, the background check, that might work with the band or, come in and volunteer in the library. And we kind of determine if they're going to be supervising students or ever alumni students that they need to do.
Right.
Because this is similar to the, that applies for like going on trips, and it's kind of the same kind of process.
Correct, right, except they don't, they're not approved by the board.
Any other questions by the board? Okay, so this is just a first read tonight, so we'll look at this and then we'll come back with any comments or questions on our next board meeting. All right, thank you. Okay, we will then move on to instruction and student programs. The Director of Student Learning, Dr. Bridget Amory.
We do not have any field trips to bring tonight, but we may have a couple here at this next board meeting or in early September, so none for tonight.
Okay, well, that was quick and easy. You didn't even have to get out of your seat there. Okay, then we'll move to Dr. Glenn Stevenson, Buildings, Grounds, and Operations. Oh, we're not going to do that because you had said earlier. See, I'm not paying attention. Sorry. Then how about if we move to transportation? Mr. John Lobiondo.
And also have to also talk here with Rose Viramontes and how well she does with transportation, leading a lot of our activities and also helping through the bid process here. A lot of record keeping, guidance, making sure we're following the regulations, a lot of communication with our schools. So we thank you very much for all you do. Wonderful speaking with our families and also our staff. And just has done amazing work here with transportation for many years here with the Milford School District. So appreciate your leadership and appreciate your leadership with the bid package. And also Mr. Waters also helped with this process with the bid package here too. And then Mr. Lobiondo has also kind of joined in here in the middle. Appreciate his work with it here as well. And he'll kind of lead the process here tonight.
Thank you. Like Kevin said, it's been amazing coming up in this position because of the help of Rose, Harold, Kevin's been helping out. Reminded and willing to lend a hand when possible. We've been working with some of the contractors as well, Ryan Moore, Copenhagen. They've been a great help in this process as well. If you take a look at the original packet that was given to you, it is the original field trip and athletic bid packet. You can see on page 3 the out-of-state field trips. Certain contractors will put in for certain types of trips. So some of them will go in for out-of-state, some of them won't. So we kind of categorize each of these. First with the contractor, they're willing to bid, and then we typically go with the lowest bid. On the right-hand side of the page, you can see 17, 18. So that's a comparison to what their bid was for last year for the same trip. So we can make sure that we're keeping an eye on expenditures and things as well.
I'd like to just point that out, Mr. Lobiondo. I have to commend our contractors here too. If you look at, there's lots of different costs in transportation. You talk about fuel and just bus upkeep, the drivers, and to maintain, have good drivers and things. Really did a nice job here, I think, keeping their bids competitive, but also within the confines where we were last year. So if you look at that there, I thought our contractors did an outstanding job there, really, I think, looking at what the costs are and being real with those numbers too.
And you can see that in the column on the right, the difference between last year and this year for most of those. There's one that's 10, two that are 5, and most of them are 0. So they're doing a nice job working with us and helping us keep those costs down. So those are the out-of-state. Is any questions on page 3 that you might have? Okay, we'll move on to page 4. A little bit different color coded here. Down at the bottom gives you a key. Obviously, you can see that more contractors put bids in. It's a sealed bid process when they come to us. So we take all of them independently, plug them into the system, then we all sit down and share with all the contractors exactly what the bids were for each contractor so that they're aware at the beginning of the process. There's no surprises typically with what bids come in and who ends up winning the bid. You can see that the pink is first, the gray is second, the blue and purple there is third, and fourth is the green. Again, you can look down at the differences on the right-hand side. Not a lot of discrepancy from last year to this year as well for the student field trips. Any questions for that page four? Okay. Page five, if you would shift over to the second packet that was handed out. It's the same exact information, except the second packet will have last year's bids and the difference between those. So it's exactly the same information, except for that the additional about what those differences are. The process for this is beginning to change. We're looking to start to go to more of a mileage type bid as opposed to the school. Part of this year that Rose has been working on with some of the contractors is cleaning up how many schools, let's say for varsity wrestling. In the past, we may have gone to 12 different schools. Well, we're not going to all those schools this year, so we've taken some of those out where traditionally they've been left in. There's also a couple new high schools that we're going to that that you will see as new that we may not have gone to in the past or recently. So we don't have a bid number for that. You might see a new price or in the price category for 17-18, you might see new there or for this year, it might be new.
It really matches the locations we're going to on this year's schedule. That's a big difference. Yes. We appreciate
this, this matches the exact locations that we're going to, nothing extra. You can see some of those even on the first page are actually less than what we paid last year. Junior varsity football, some of those are $25 and $30 less than what we paid last year. So that's the same process through pages 2 and 3 on that second form. Any questions for those? We did the same process through winter sports and fall sports, spring sports, sorry. And then also the same as well for middle school sports.
Are there any comments or questions? Mr. Lobiondo, I see you're wearing your orange safety shirt too, so that's good. There you go, you wanted to stand out. Yeah.
He also just represented us here recently at the State Symposium for Safety. Recently here, gave a lot of advice here to school officials, administrators, and people across the state here on some aspects of school safety. So we appreciate you representing as well, and then also helping the state here recently at the symposium.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. If there is no other comments or questions, I need a motion to approve the field trip and athletic summary for 2018-2019.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mrs. Purcell. I need a second. From Mr. Vesmar. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining?
I have to abstain.
I have one abstention, and that's from Mr. Evans, so we need to take a roll call.
Okay, Mrs. Dennehy.
Yes.
Mr. Evans.
Abstain.
Mr. Miller.
Yes.
Mrs. Purcell.
Yes.
Mr. Shellhouse.
Yes.
Mr. Vesmar.
Yes.
Mrs. Wiley.
Yes.
We have six yes, zero no, and one abstention.
Okay, so move then. Thank you.
Okay.
Just one thing I wanted to point out there too, if you see the contractor's name, we are very fortunate in Milford School District. Lots of people have helped us for years and years as far as getting our students here from school to school and return them home, and then also through our field trips and trips here to our sporting events and band trips and all our extracurriculars. We have a very dedicated group of contractors here within the Milford School District and very fortunate for what they've done for many years.
And it's not easy to find drivers, as you have probably seen different notices up looking for good drivers. So they are transporting our precious cargo for us, so we do need to show our appreciation to them. If there are no other comments or questions, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I have a motion from Mrs. Dennehy, a second from Mr. Shellhouse. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
So moved. We are now adjourned at 8:09.